Welcome to Ghostbusters, the radio show that talks about strange things in the neighborhood and weird stuff that don't look good. Talk about stuff that's messing with your head and crazy stuff that's happening in the bed. Why? Because many church folks are falling into darkness, and the Bible calls us to walk as children of light. The Bible says, see then, that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Welcome, 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 ladies and gentlemen, to Ghostbusters, the radio show that talks about strange things in the neighborhood and weird stuff that don't look good. Ladies and gentlemen, we are living in a very complex world. It is very complex because today we don't really know what a Christian is or a Muslim is, because we are trying to come together. They are trying to merge Islam and Christian coming together, and they're trying to form really a new religion called Chrislam, where you got Christians and Muslims. They are breaking down the walls and they are coming together. But we are exposing, that's a lie, ladies and gentlemen, and we are exposing that this week on the Ghostbusters here. And we have a man who was a former Muslim. He grew up a Muslim, and now he's a Christian. Matter of fact, he's a pastor, and he's going around the world, and he's exposing this lie on Chrislam. And so get close to your radio and listen as Sharon Hadi talks about Chrislam exposed.
Reconcile, we want to reconcile. The Christians say in the letter, and by the way, I'll give you the link in a minute. You can go read it for yourself. Don't take my word. The Christians say in the letter, we ask the all-merciful one for forgiveness. You go, where in the Bible does it ever use the term all-merciful one? Nowhere. God is a God of mercy, but you'll never see those three words together in the Bible, the all-merciful one. Guess what? You see it all over the place in the Quran. In almost every verse of the Quran, when Muslims are commanded to say the Bismillah prayer, they'll say the words, the all-merciful Allah, the all-merciful one. So the Christians go to the Muslims and say, you're right, we want to ask the all-merciful one for forgiveness. And you know what they ask for forgiveness for? Two things. The Crusades and the War on Terror. Now, if you know anything about the Crusades, you know that Islam was in Europe way before the Crusades. And if it was not for the Battle of Tours, the Battle of Poitiers in 732, Europe would have been under Islamic rule way before the Crusades ever happened. But the textbooks today in most of our public schools paint the picture that Muslims were the defenders and us Christians were the attackers. We were the oppressors. We went on the offensive in the Crusades, which was not the quite exact accurate history of the Crusades, right? But the folks who put this together say, please forgive us. Now, you go, well, nobody really would sign this, right? Who would, in their right mind, sign this? How about 500 of the major leaders that most people recognize, like Pastor Rick Warren, Pastor Bill Hybels, Robert Schuller, John Stott, who I studied in Bible College, Leith Anderson, president of the National Association of Evangelicals, most of the staff at Fuller Theological Seminary, almost every major emergent church leader in America signed this document or is behind this document. As I said to you folks, most of the church is behind this. It is those of us who are not behind it, we're in the minority now. I just want you to understand what we're up against. And you notice that when these leaders signed it, they didn't just stop at signing it, they're now promoting it. People attack me all the time. How dare you criticize Rick Warren? He's a brother in the Lord. Well, listen, Mr. Warren signed this document. I believe every pastor and every leader that signed this document is in grave error. I believe they need to publicly repent. I don't care how big their ministries are. I don't care if you've been on Oprah. You've written 5 billion books. You've inaugurated the president. I don't care. You know, personally, I don't live for that. I live to please the Lord. And I believe as Christians, we are called to call out falsehood, to call out lies. And these are the people that put their names in the document. I didn't sign it for them. They signed it. I have a good friend of mine, Waleed Shubat, who is become a good friend, actually, over the last few months. And I talked to Waleed about this document, and he said exactly what I felt in my heart. He said, these leaders have covenanted with an Antichrist spirit. Remember what I said about 1 John 4? You're going to see tonight what Islam really is. And until we get to the point that we're serious about what Islam really is, we are in deep trouble in America and in the church and as Christians. Because you're seeing the rising of an Antichrist spirit. Okay, so you go, what influence has this Common Word document had in the churches? Well, in June 2011, we saw a lot of, quote-unquote, actually before June of 2011, we saw a lot of interfaith churches. Remember, now, the word we use, church, just because someone used the word church doesn't mean it's a church, right? We know that, right? Got to be intelligent enough to know that. Now, the interfaith churches, what does that mean, right? That's the ecumenical movement, right? That's that we believe that, you know, all ways lead to God. That's not a Christian church, folks, right? Let's be very, very honest, that's not a Christian church. But those churches were promoting this idea of, let's, you know, Muslims and Christians and Jews and everybody come together and hold hands. And here's the thing, though. And then now what we see in America, has anybody heard of these tri-faith centers that are being built? They're building these tri-faith centers. One building, Muslims can worship, Christians can worship, Jews can worship. It's going to be a great kumbaya moment. That's happening all over the place. You see congregations like this. Eid Mubarak. Allah blesses you, our dear Muslims and brothers and sisters. Now, on June 26, 2011, there was a more concentrated effort in the more evangelical movement, meaning in churches that were not quote-unquote interfaith, those churches that claim to be more Christian churches. They believe that Jesus Christ is the way. So on June 26, 2011, they began to promote this idea that we want to have these interfaith Sundays. So they decide to have Qurans next to the Bibles in the pews. They're going to focus their Sunday school teachings on the teachings of the Prophet Muhammad, the five pillars of Islam. Because after all, we just want you Christians to just know a little bit about Islam. That's all. We just want to educate the body on Islam. By the way, some of these churches invited imams to come in and to teach from the Quran. Isn't that convenient? So several hundred churches that we know of participated across the country on these Chrislamic Sundays. Now, I call it that. They didn't call it that. They call it an interfaith effort, an effort to reach out and understand our Muslim brothers and sisters. Now, how many churches do you think, or how many mosques do you think opened their doors and invited Christian pastors to come and teach? Zero. You guys have such little faith. Zero? You're absolutely right. It was zero. We don't know of one mosque that opened their doors to allow a Christian pastor to come in and teach the Bible. Now, there were several mosques that had Ramadan dinners and invited Christians to come and have a Ramadan dinner. But not one opened their door like the Christian churches were and said, oh, we're going to invite a pastor in, open the Bible and teach from the Bible. Because I'll take that invitation. If a mosque said you can come in and teach the Word of God, you know, unabated, unabridged, you know, no restrictions, I'd take that offer. That you know, I'll take that challenge. I may not come out of the mosque, but I'll take that challenge. After all, to die is to gain, right? You know, you get to be go home with the Lord. But here's the thing. You go, why would the mosques not open their doors? What's the problem? How about the fact that they're teaching in the mosques that the Bible is corrupt? So here we're promoting a common word dialogue where we're putting side by the way, in that letter, the common word document, they had side by side verses of the Bible and the Quran, and look how we have this common ground and common love of God and common love of neighbor, and yet in the mosque, they're teaching, we're not going to have the Christians come in because the Bible is corrupted. The Prophet of Islam said that the whole reason that he brought the Quran is as the final revelation. So who's being bamboozled? Us Christians. We perish for a lack of our knowledge because we lack vision and we lack understanding and we lack understanding of our enemy. We're not operating as wise as serpents and gentle as doves. We're trying to be gentle as doves and we're not operating wise as serpents. And I don't even think the gentle as doves is really true, the true gentleness that Christ demonstrated, because we now have false love. This idea that let's just love everybody. It's just all about love. What is your definition of love, I would ask? Just, you know, FYI. You go, okay, well, where does it, how far does this go? How far, how locally do we see that? For example, here's a church in Tacoma, Washington. Life Center Tacoma. Supposed to be an evangelical church. Although if you know more about their history, you know that they've been going down the road of the emergent church movement for many years. But 6,500 members in this church. And last November, their pastor here, Dean Curry. Now the reason I'm saying his name and I publicly call him out, because I publicly met with him. Or I privately met with him. And I privately confronted him. And he has told me that there was no error in bringing Imam Mousavi from Iran into his Sunday services. And having Imam Mousavi have a Quran in his hand and open the Quran and teach about Jesus in the Quran. And people were tweeting, what an amazing day for Jesus, hashtag unity. Amazing here, Imam Mousavi from Iran speak today about Jesus. At Life Center Tacoma, hashtag Jesus, hashtag common ground. How many believers were in that church that are ignorant and did not know and are being deceived by their pastor? And that pastor was invited to come to one of my presentations. He did. He heard the same message that I'm giving you before you tonight. And then myself and another former Muslim from Iran went and met with him. Two witnesses to one. And we brought this to his attention. Pastor, we believe this is grave error. You've brought great confusion into the church. Nope, there was no error. Pastor, are you going to teach your body about Islam? Nope, they don't need to know about Islam. They just need to know about Jesus. Well, wait a second. Why did you bring this imam in and teach him about the false Jesus? And the few people in that church who were alert and awake, who went to their leadership and confronted, exercised Matthew 18 to their leadership, they were asked to leave because they're troublemakers. This is the state of many of our so-called churches. 6,500 people in three locations of Life Center Tacoma. This isn't just an ecumenical movement anymore, folks. This is mainstream evangelical Christianity that is now beginning to go down this road. In order to love Muslims, we need to love Islam. We need to understand Islam. No, you don't. You can love Muslims and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ to them without embracing Islam. In fact, it's the opposite. We should be resisting Islam. Because Islam is the ideology. It is demonic. It is spiritual. The Muslim is the victim of Islam. The Muslim themselves are victims. And don't forget that probably more than 50% of Muslims in America are agnostic. They don't even know what their own ideology is. Just like many Christians have never read the Bible. So there's three things we have to refute. We've got to move on. Remember, the number one claim is that the Bible and the Quran are common word, right? Let's refute that very quickly. This is what I focus on. Jesus is the word. Amen? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and He was in the beginning with God, and it goes on to say, nothing was created without Him. The foundational belief is that not only is the Bible, as Paul says in 2 Timothy, Scripture that is God-breathed, inspired by God, and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training. Not only is the Bible that, and not only do we obviously as Christians believe that God inspired through the apostles, particularly the New Testament, that was canonized through them, but we believe Jesus Himself is the Word. That means if you don't like parts of the Bible, you have a problem with Jesus, folks. Because He said if you love God, first commandment to love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Second commandment to love your neighbor. If you love God, and Jesus, if you love me, you will obey my commands. Amen? So Jesus is the Word, and all Scripture is God-breathed. That means in His original manuscript, Scripture is inerrant. Amen? Is that not a foundational belief of our Christian faith? But yet you talk to Christians out there and you ask them that question and they'll go, well, but you know, I mean, really, all of the Bible? You believe some of those stories in the Bible? What does the Quran say? Now, I could spend hours talking about different verses from the Quran. We're going to look at one later, but I want to show you this verse from the Quran and what it claims about the Bible. You go, well, they're not talking about the Bible. Sure they are. Look what the first line is. Say, O people of the Scripture. So who are they talking to? That's you and I. Now my advice to you always is don't take the advice. Got it? Don't take the advice. But I just want to share with you, what are they saying to us Christians? Do not exceed limits in your religion beyond the truth, and do not follow the inclinations of a people who had gone astray before and misled many. Saying to you and I, the Christians, Don't follow what the Christians before said. All of that nonsense about Jesus dying on the cross and being the Son of God and coming in the flesh and the Trinity, all of that stuff is nonsense. Don't follow their leading, Christians. I have a question for you, though. If the Quran and its main purpose is not to bring unity, its main purpose is to disprove Christianity, how can we have a common word? How can there be any commonality? Is that not just make sense? Just for a moment, forget faith. Just put your logic head on for a minute, okay? Does that not make sense that if one document is clearly refuting the other document, that there not only is not a common word, but you and I have to choose one is from God and one is from the enemy? Is that a fair statement? Is that a fair apologetic statement? But yet, we see the opposite happening. Despite the evidence, I think most of those pastors who signed that common word document didn't even bother reading the Quran. Maybe they should have talked to a few more former Muslims who have come out of Islam and said, what do you think? Should we sign this document? Because I would have told them, never. Never, pastor. Don't ever put your name to that document. But oh, it's about peace and harmony. It's about us getting along. No, it's about us being led down the road of deception and deceit and the trickery of men, which is what Ephesians 4 says, right? And if we're in that place, then you and I are operating not as mature believers, folks, but as little children that are easily tossed about by every wind of doctrine. So very clearly, and again, I'll show you another verse later, but I want to move on from this point. It's not even worth my breath to go any further. Very clearly, there can be no common word. It is impossible for there to be a common word. Every story that Muslims will say, oh, but there's stories in the Quran about the Bible. No, no, no. Those stories are taken out of order. The stories have wrong details. Let me give you one more example really quick. In Surah 345, it talks about the birth of Jesus, or Esau in the Bible. It says Esau was born to Mary. Mary was a virgin. You go, wow, look, we have a common word. Then it goes on to say, Mary, who was Mary, who was the sister of Aaron. Anybody tracking with me? Mary, the Mary of the time of Jesus, the mother of Jesus, who was the sister of Aaron. Who was Aaron? The brother of Moses. What kind of time frame was there between Moses and Jesus? Exactly. Whoops. Right? Are you tracking with me? Small detail or big detail? Kind of a big detail, right? How does a book get those things wrong? Because it's from the pit of hell. It's not of God. Number two claim. Oh, by the way, this is one of the reasons why Muslims will claim that they're just getting warmed up. So I hope you're... We don't do this 1 hour thing. You know, we're like, you know, getting into... Okay, so... The Quran teaches that there were seven major prophets. Anybody want to guess who the seventh prophet is? Muhammad. Who was number six? Jesus or Esau. They claim Esau. So Esau comes. His followers completely corrupt everything he stood for because Esau is simply a prophet of Allah. Now Allah has to send Muhammad to correct us. And yet Muhammad believed he was demon-possessed. I'm sorry, did you find one prophet in the Bible who was believed when he had a visitation from God that he was possessed? Anybody? Can you find one prophet in the Bible who literally wanted to go commit suicide because he thought that he was hearing from a demon? And yet this is the history. And most Muslims, by the way, are not even allowed to question their own ideology. If they do, they're taught that Allah will send them to hell. That's convenient, isn't it? So, number two claim. And this is the major claim, really. Because the common word claim is easy to debunk. That's easy. That's just ridiculous. Those who want to exercise the common word dialogue, they're in two camps. They're either deceived or they're deceivers. There's no other option. They're either deceived themselves, meaning they're being bamboozled into believing that it's a common word, or they are deceivers. They themselves are participating in the deception. They know exactly what they're doing. There is no middle ground. Because even if, you see, when I talk to fundamentalist Muslims, devout fundamentalist Muslims, they will say, we don't have a common ground. The Quran clearly refutes the Bible. You're wrong. They tell you the truth. And I appreciate that. I tell those Muslims, thank you at least for telling me the truth. This is a harder one to disprove because many missionaries are saying it's no big deal, and I'll tell you why in a minute. First of all, what does the Bible say about Jehovah God? Well, we know that you can't worship other gods, right? That we are commanded to worship Him and Him alone. Why? Well, here's Exodus 34 that says, He is a jealous God. He's jealous for His name. Well, now, if God says I'm jealous for my name, I take that seriously. I don't know about you. I kind of take that seriously. And has He not given us His name? He has told us who He is. Jehovah, Yahweh, Elohim, over 2,000 times in the Bible. El Shaddai, Adonai. What about all the names? I named my first son after Jehovah Jireh. God is our provider, right? He has given us His names, His attributes. I beg to ask you, why did one time He not say, my name is Allah? Because He actually warned us of the opposite. He said, do not worship false gods and do not worship the sun, the moon, and the stars. Hang on to that. We're going to visit that in just a minute here. Number two, the Bible says that the God of the Bible is a God of love. Amen? This is critical. Look what 1 John says, right? Beloved, love one another, for love is from God. Everyone who loves is born of God, knows God. The one who does not love does not know God, for God is love. By the way, that word love, look it up in the original Greek, it is agape love. It is not filial love. It's not the give me a big warm fuzzy hug. It is the commitment love that Christ made even unto death for you and I. I'm sure so glad He was committed. I'm sure glad that He didn't compromise last minute. Amen? Whoops, come back.
All right, we're going to stop the tape right there today, but we'll pick right back up there tomorrow. That was an Iranian pastor, Sharon, and he was talking about Chrislam. It's a big difference between Jehovah and Allah. All right, we're going to go a little bit further tomorrow. Thank you so kindly for joining us. Listen to us all day long because we're in your corner right here on Ghostbusters. Cause you